To emphasize the importance of eating real food, the federal government threw out its food plate and turns its food pyramid upside down. So we pause to ask, what impact will the new real food pyramid have on our health?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Oldson. And now get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1,409th edition of the Food Chain Radio program. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Yokohama who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. Folks, the federal government's new food guidelines are causing a kerfuffle among nutrition experts because they're so different than previous government recommendations. In the first place, the government threw out its food plate and replaced it with an upside-down pyramid. The grains that once held the top spot on the pyramid, which meant we were to make grains the pinnacle of our diet, are now at the bottom, which means we are to lay off Cheerios and Frosted Flakes. We are told to continue eating fruits and vegetables at the rate of 5 a day and limit saturated fats to less than 10% of energy, and to continue being mindful of portion sizes, no more supersizing, and to prioritize whole foods. But here's where the government goes upside down. It wants us to double our protein intake and go back, way back, to eating animal fats. To heck with Ansel Keys and the Seven Nations studies. But bring on the bacon, full-fat dairy, butter, beef tallow, and most all sources of animal fats. Perhaps most surprising of all, the federal government is now telling us to eat real food and start taking responsibility for our own health. Because it doesn't have enough money to pay for all our chronic diseases. This federal government about face forward march, upside down food pyramid, leads us to ask, what impact will the new real food pyramid have on our health? Well, here to help us find some answers, we have Dr. Jeff Lester, who's the director of Trilogy Medical Center for Integrative Health right here in Santa Cruz, California. Dr. Lester, thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you, Michael. Pleasure to be here.
And you brought your son.
I brought my son.
Hello, everyone.
Well, what's your name?
My name is Paul.
Paul. Good. Paul's here from which Texas university?
Oh, I go to the University of Dallas.
University of Dallas. Going to be graduating soon?
Yeah, this May.
Good. Excited. Going to come back and work with Papa.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty awesome. We get to be on the air here with all you guys.
Hello. All right. This is going to be a lot of fun. This is kind of an introductory flight for Dr. Lester here on Santa Cruz Voice. We hope to have him as a regular talk host here talking about integrative medicine, Trilogy Medical Center for Integrative Medicine. So we have some terms to deal with, Doc, but before we do, we want to invite people to join us on the air today. Dr. Lester is welcoming of your medical and nutrition questions. And whatever your question might be or your comment, all you have to do today is pick up your phone and dial 831-265-5050, 831-265-5050, and we'll break into whatever we're talking about and take your call, because today you are the most important caller. So join us, 831-265-5050. Dr. Lester, you're 3-in-1.
Yes, I am.
That is thus the Trilogy Medical, right?
That's right. Study of 3 medical systems to help each patient.
Okay. A physician?
First a physician. Okay. Your medical diagnoses, assess the person properly.
Okay. A surgeon?
A surgeon, yes. Cut out of the person what doesn't belong.
Good. Homeopath?
Homeopath, yes. An age-old traditional medical system, which means communicate with the inner mechanism to get it to either stop hurting itself or stop ignoring the real problem.
So it's kind of like redirecting things, isn't it?
It's exactly like redirecting things. It's an investigative process where you shine the light on something the person may not be understanding about themselves or burying, and when you uncover it, the whole inner mechanism starts to go into recovery, healing themselves, and sometimes you might just have a cure.
And that's what we all hope for, is the cure.
That's the intention.
And, you know, in broadcasting anything that has anything to do with medications, if you use the word cure, you have to be very careful.
Yes, that's a dirty word nowadays.
Yeah.
Way back in the 1920s and 30s, there's a group of pretty big entrepreneurs that stepped in and got rid of that term, so you would instead use what I call replacement medicine. If you can't fix yourself or make what you should naturally be making, your God-given biological nature, then you replace it with a synthetic.
And that is the genesis, the birth of modern medicine.
That is modern medicine.
So integrative medicine means you take the physician, the surgeon, and the homeopath, and you sit down with your patient, and you say, how's it going?
Exactly. Tell me your story.
Tell me your story.
How did you get into this mess?
Mm-hmm. Now, I have to, full confession here, been consulting with myself, with Dr. Lester, and my family as well, and we've been doing so for quite some time. I have been sold on the notion of this integrative pathway to health by observing what Dr. Lester did for my wife, who, as a college student at Montana State in Bozeman, Montana, came down with pneumonia, a real severe case of pneumonia. And once you get pneumonia, you're likely to get it again.
Yes, you are.
It comes and comes and comes. But my wife and I, you know, had to go to the hospital pretty much every year for years and years and years, because every flu season she would catch pneumonia. And then we went to Dr. Lester, and he said, what's your story?
Yeah.
I don't know how you did it. She has not had pneumonia since.
Yes, we unlocked her inner mechanism of her neuroendocrino immune system, and now they're working together. Almost like you have multiple buttons inside the human mechanism, but some of them are stuck. They're not working anymore. They got damaged or something's holding them up. And when you unlock them, you got all your systems working for you, so you don't have to get sick anymore.
Knock wood, it's been working very effectively for years, because we haven't had to go back to the emergency room for years. Whatever you did very well, and I hope it keeps working. As to that, when you sit down with a patient and ask them their story, what are you looking for?
You're looking for something inside that is, it's like a deficiency. So you're saying to yourself, are they eating terribly? Are they living terribly? Are they doing something wrong in their life? If the answer is no to the above, then you have to go to the next level of investigation. Okay, well, let's find out, what is it inside of you that is really allowing the disease to exist or is creating the disease? So as a doctor, your job is much more challenging and exciting than it is in most modern doctor visits, where you're just looking to put a Band-Aid on the person's symptoms.
Well, having been there myself, you're like the detective, and I'm like the crook.
Exactly.
I'm trying to get away with something.
Yes, you have a burglar inside.
I do, and I'm trying to figure out, I'm okay. I jokingly, before the show, was talking about how we went through this process. Of Dr. Lester says, well, write down all the things that are wrong with you. And I said, well, nothing's wrong with me. I'm just right. And then so my wife and daughter wrote down a list of like 73 things that were wrong with me. And so we went through them. And you found what do they call the homeopathic? They call them remedies.
Yes, remedies, which means to fix or to get better.
Yes. And so I've been taking these three microscopic pills every day.
Yes.
Religiously. And I don't know if I'm fixed or not, but I feel pretty good.
I'm
still just right. But, you know, the impact that it's had on my wife is absolutely stunning. And I've talked with a bunch of your patients who have found the similar thing. So you are the interrogator.
Yeah.
You are the one who's looking for something that we as patients We know there's something wrong,
right?
But we don't know have the slightest idea where it's at.
Yes, I tell people, bring me all your pieces, put them on the table, and then you're going to trust that I know how to synthesize them and put them together into a cohesive story. And then we go after that, whatever's in the way of your getting healthy, and we fix it. We remedy it.
Okay. Whew. So people have lots of problems these days.
Lots of problems.
And I see where 6 out of 10 of us now have some kind of chronic disease, one, maybe two or three, that plague our lives. And it's these chronic diseases that cause us Americans to spend more on health care than any other country in the world. This being the food chain, I'm going to have to ask, are some of these related to what we eat?
Well, we have been, for years, been given, probably since it really took off in the 40s and 50s, a new paradigm that it's okay to eat tainted food or food that's not quite right and maybe got some processing in it. Then the biggest mistake that ever got made was that formula was better than breastfeeding. And the act of breastfeeding and the actual milk that comes from the woman's breast to feed that child. So it started with replacing something that was a better version than nature made in its original form that's been here for thousands of years. So cleaning our food and getting more natural foods the way God gave. My grandfather was a cattle rancher, and there was no such thing as processed anything back in those days. My grandmother made everything from scratch. So people grew up very hardy, but also within that generation, they had 5 children, they still had disease. So I knew that the food and getting clean, healthy food is so very important for a good portion, maybe a third of the health of the person. So you might say what you're eating is important, but the other third is what's eating you.
Well, what's eating you? And that goes back to the saying, if we are what we eat.
Partly.
If we are what we eat, we are what we eat, ate also.
Yes. The other piece is we are what we deeply feel. So that means everybody inside of them has a very convincing to themselves something that they feel that they have to be a certain way in order to be accepted by themselves or others or be in the world. And we look for that. So after they're done talking about what's your disease process, do you have eczema, asthma, migraines, irritable bowel syndrome, what do you have, what's your body doing wrong, or a host of things. And then we talk after you're done what your lifestyle is like, you know, your stress levels, what are you doing in your life that maybe is not good for you or eating that's not good for you. And then we get to the deeper stuff. How do you feel about life in your inner self? And surprisingly, once you get the person warmed up and talking for a little bit, they just start rolling into the deepest things you'd ever imagine. And by the time you're done with anywhere from 60 to 90 minutes, they have revealed something about themselves they've been carrying their whole life. But if you could get rid of that, they now have a high-performing system.
So that being a psychological trauma of some kind?
It is partly psychological. It's partly genetic. You call it a miasm, which means an invisible energetic process inside of you that is governing the way you react, feel, and the way you choose things. Like some people choose wrong things from themselves, and they keep doing it, and they don't know why. But if you look back at the ancestry, sometimes you find there were some other people in that ancestry that were doing the exact same thing wrong.
And it perpetuates itself, though.
It's very perpetuating. It's, you might say, the disease is one of ignorance. You're ignoring what's something you're not seeing. And then modern medicine came along and said, we could help you ignore that even more by covering up
the symptoms.
Symptoms, exactly. Right. We want to do the opposite. We're going to make your system start to uncover something deeply inside to make you more aggressive at fixing your own problem, maybe if it's even a deep immune problem like cancer.
Wow. Now, how does homeopathy address disease?
It gets your immune system involved in the fight, or gets your immune system involved in the cleanup. I call these homeopathic medicines focusing agents. They allow you to focus on something you're not seeing. So if you're eating a whole bunch of broccoli, asparagus, Brussels sprouts, carrots, you're eating really well, but your cancer is still growing, we know something is wrong. The inner mechanism is not absorbing, assimilating, and then going after your own cancer. You've got chemotherapy locked up in your body. People are made to think they don't. They have to always use an outside agent to fix an inside problem.
Have you had luck treating cancer patients?
I have. You know, it depends on the age, the aggressiveness of the cancer, and the vitality of the person, and the openness of the person. So if you imagine a remedy as a directing agent, where you're directing the system how to work on itself, you might just say, maybe my system can do more than I thought.
It's kind of like susceptibility to hypnotism.
Yeah.
If you're willing, you can be hypnotized.
Right.
If you're not willing, you can't.
I do have patients come in and they want to be helped, but they don't allow me to help them the way I know. I always say, can you imagine the metaphor of a surgeon that wants to go and cut out your diseased gallbladder, but you keep waking up from the anesthesia and telling them where to cut?
Don't do that.
I'll tell the anesthesiologist, give them just a little bit more because I need to do my work.
Before the show, we were talking about various diseases that we're prone to these days. One of them seems to be Parkinson's disease. Are we seeing more of it, or is it?
It is growing tremendously, yes. And there's an answer for that. So what I do is I take the disease, the soup du jour, you might say, the disease of the day, and I think about it. Why is that growing? Sometimes there's an easy answer, like cervical cancer from HPV. Oh, well, we better control our sexual desires and be careful who we interlude with, because HPV is a nasty virus that is very difficult to get rid of. But Parkinson's, what is that? So you say the substantia nigra is a part of the brain that governs the producing of dopamine. Dopamine, very important chemical. What does it do? It gives us deep sense of joy. So there must be something wrong in that inner mechanism where the person is leading their life looking for joy in the wrong ways. They're not feeling an inner joy for it. Like cocaine makes our brain lights up with joy for about 2 or 3 hours, and then we go into severe depression afterwards because it's false joy. But so is sugar. When you consume a lot of sugar, makes the dopamine go up. So is sexuality without love. That makes the dopamine go up, but again, it's false. It doesn't last. True joy comes from something inside you that is greatly rewarding and satisfying, like doing maybe a great radio show.
There you go.
Helping a patient get better, or helping a child in distress. We did 4 children with autism in the past 2 months that couldn't speak, couldn't focus, couldn't cooperate, and all 4 of those children within 2 to 6 weeks are now speaking, focusing, and they're not unruly with their parents anymore. I just got up the online. I do online visits now. I did these people in Florida last night where they have 2 children with autism. And homeopathic treatment allowed these children to have eye contact, speaking. The 5-year-old is now reading. The 4-year-old is now cooperating with his sister better. They're playing together. The 4-year-old used to just throw the toy around the room without playing with it.
So wait a minute. These kids, these are kids.
These are little 4 and 5.
So it would seem like that would be really hard to fool them into thinking the placebo effect,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
Because they're 4 years old. They don't know what these homeopathic remedies are.
Well, people try to say, well, if the mother or father gives them these remedies with the intention it's going to work, maybe that's working, but I think that's baloney. Because in autism, you can't convince an autistic child to start speaking through hope. You have to give them a medication that unlocks the circuit.
So there would really be something in the remedy that you're providing that is actually facilitating a change.
Yes. Well, let's go back to the Parkinson's. If in the brain, it's the perception of something that brings you deep joy is locked up, so no matter what you do, you don't really feel that joy anymore. If you could unlock that, then you get deep joy from little things, then maybe Parkinson's would reduce. And in fact, most people who seek me out when they already have Parkinson's have had it for 10 or 20 years, so we can get to these people earlier. And let's say you're living a life that is without pure positivity, joy, and happiness. and you don't have Parkinson's, better to get treatment now before you ever get it. I always say the best way to treat dementia is 20 years before you get it.
Not bad way of doing it. You know, I keep thinking of a quote from Nikos Kazantzakis, who wrote Zorba the Greek and The Last Temptation of Christ. And one of the things he said was that there's nothing more frightening than a man without a God. And that's kind of like there's no joy then.
Yes, joy and one other thing called hope. Dente society, joy and hope, not only are lacking, but they've been skewed into false hope and false joy. So if we go into the person knowing, I have to find out in this patient why their disease is existing, you're looking for where they're putting their false investment in hope. And
boy,
joy.
You're going for something that's really precious then, aren't you?
Yes, it's very precious.
And they're probably not willing to give it up right away.
They are not. It takes sometimes some people between 3 and 6 visits before they finally are willing to admit where the weakness lies.
Once you find the weakness, then you have at least something to shoot at with your remedies.
Right. Yeah, that's the first. Just discovering what
it is.
Is
that a good way of putting it, shooting at those things?
That's a good way of putting at it, actually. You are shooting at it to bring awareness. I call them magnetic flashlights. They don't go in and just do it for you, but they shine the light on it. They bring awareness to it, and now you can fix your own problem. That's why it's often, when it does cure, a permanent cure. My wife used to have 3 to 6 migraines per month, and now we have none. She's a delightful person. She had no idea why she was suffering these migraines. So we found out, investigated. It took her a little while to get it out from inside. And now she has life without migraines. And 3 of my children started to develop migraines, so we nipped it very quickly in them. And I have to brag about my children. They're extremely joyful. They find joy in the right place. They find joy in little things. Parkinson's can be cured by never leading a life full of looking for joy in the wrong places.
Looking for love in all the wrong places.
You got it.
There it is. And so when you bring homeopathy into an integrative medicine approach and people come to the doctor expecting to get a drug to fix things, they're in for a surprise.
They're in for a little surprise. Usually most of our patients come word of mouth, so they say, this doctor's a little different. He's not going to look at your outside. He's going to look at your outside, but he's going to look at your inside. I call Western medicine the great stabilizer. Mm-hmm. Do you need to be stabilized? Is your asthma out of control? Well, let's get you stabilized with some inhalers. Unfortunately, there's steroid in many of them now because it keeps people out of the emergency room. In Western medicine, I would not want to be a homeopathic physician without also being an allopathic physician, which means stabilizing the outside, keep them alive. I always joke, I help the patients much better when I keep them alive. We have more time to figure this out. And you stabilize them, and then you go after inside what's allowing the eczema, the asthma, the allergies to grow.
What is doing this, creating all of these long-term diseases that we do have, like Parkinson's, and asthma, and on and on and on.
Yeah, it's a faulty mechanism inside of the person. You can fix that.
So it's somewhere in your natural healing system.
Yeah.
Somebody said the human body is the perfect healer of itself.
Yes, until it gets messed up.
Until it gets messed up.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I loved the term. I knew I wanted to be a doctor since I was 10 years old. And I would study anything due to health or anything like that. And I love the term psychoneuroimmunology. Now, that's a fascinating term. You got psycho, your mind, neuro, your nervous system, immunology. Now I've expanded it to psychoneuroimmunoendocrinocardiology. Okay, mm-hmm. Because you can do cardiology with homeopathic care, not in place of stabilization. But you can fix, why is my body producing so much cholesterol? I eat lots of good, healthy food, and I still have high cholesterol. There's a reason for that. You got to find it out. Usually it has to do with inner vulnerability. The more vulnerable you feel, the more cholesterol you make.
Why is that?
There's no drug for that. Yeah, these new drugs that are out to lower your cholesterol are blocking a pathway in the liver doesn't really change the inner mechanism that's producing the too much cholesterol in the first place. And then the other thing is, why is the cholesterol sticking in my arteries? Well, that's another piece, which is called inflammation. And the root of most people's inflammation is deep feelings of frustration and betrayal.
So you're part psychologist in them as well.
50%.
50%.
50%. You're looking at a
person. So what, you need to put that on your... Instead of trilogy, then.
Quadrilogy.
Quadrilogy, that sounds like good. But it really is a search for the root cause of these issues.
Yeah, you really see a person as a player.
And conventional medicine does not search for the cause. It's just for a way of smoothing things out for a little while here.
You're looking for the quickest fix to quiet the symptom.
Take this and call me in the morning.
And sometimes you need that. If someone's in terrific pain, or let's go back to asthma, they can't breathe. One of my children had terrible asthma. Of course, we used inhalers and nebulizers and things to keep him breathing. But all the while I was studying him, now he was only 3 years old, so I had to look at him and just figure out what is inside of him that is creating this asthma in the first place. And then go after that and remedy that with something that eventually got rid of it completely, and he's never puffed on an inhaler again for 25 years.
And you just got it. That's right, from Paul.
Paul knows him very well.
Yeah.
And I always remind this boy and all my kids, you're very lucky. We have 6 children. You guys are very lucky that Dad spent a lot of time researching things outside the box, because I love Western medicine. It is fantastic for what it's able to do.
You break a leg?
It's fantastic.
Yeah, we're very spoiled here. Any illness, sickness, even just scraping my knee outside.
So it becomes an adventure, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, oh boy, we have something to work with?
Yeah, but I let them know, we could fix anything, guys. Anything you do out there in the world is your playground. We could fix it if it breaks.
Yeah, when I left for college, because that was like the first time I was away from home, I remember you told me anything that you're going through that's causing a lot of emotion, or any like event in your life that has you thinking a lot, like remember that feeling, remember that like pain or joy, and bring it back, so then we can get you on a constitutional remedy, because you were telling me how important those things are and how important it is to understand.
Boy, what an incredible insight. Yes, my wife was working at the University of California, and she would talk all the time about the kids who the freshman kids who came to the university and for the first time in their lives did not have their parents there to force them to take their meds.
Yeah.
Right? And so they had all of these kids without their meds trying to cope with reality. Phew!
Yeah, the greatest feeling in the world as a parent is making your kid autonomous.
Yes.
And confident.
Whole job. That's from day one.
Confident and autonomous. You can do it. We know the term helicopter parent.
Sure.
Oh, you're hurt. Here, let me help you. Let me help you. And I think, actually, you're handicapping your child.
So are any of these conditions created by external forces, like food?
Well, it's 50-50. External forces influence how you deeply feel, but there's something that if you already deeply feel, the external forces cannot change that other piece in you. So if someone, we now know, we have a DNA project. We can, from your saliva and cheek, we can measure your DNA and see what diseases you might get and what age they might occur. That's a scary test for many people, except if you have a system that could push it out for 20 years.
If you can fight it.
Yes. Well, that's what we do. We make in homeopathic treatment, which is, you know, a third of my practice. I'm an allopath. I do Western medicine well. I diagnose people, treat them how they need to be treated. But then we also have a lifestyle and health nutrition part of our clinic. And then the third part of the Trilogy Clinic is we have homeopathic, which means we're going to awaken something inside of you that's going to stop allowing something to exist that's called a disease, or stop hurting yourself.
So you can actually treat autism.
You can treat autism with a...
What is autism?
There's three types of autism: mild, moderate, and severe.
A spectrum.
There's a spectrum. So in the mild to moderate group, I have had complete cures of it, including my own daughter, where she went from a place they said she'd never read, write, speak, or be able to do anything very well, and she does all the above. Nobody knows at this point that she has autism. She has a job. She has her customers she takes care of, and no one knows that she has. They know she's extra sweet, kind, and caring, and they know she's very loving, but they don't realize that she ever had a problem.
So you can shift from one end of the spectrum down to another end of the spectrum.
They brought her back to her high school to be a demonstrator to the other kids with autism of what could be in their future possibility.
And you would treat autism the same way you treat other diseases.
Yes. You're looking for what is inside of them that's scrambled, not connecting right, the body's on a feedback loops. You go to the outside world and the inside world, back and forth. In autism, there's something broken there. The inside world is 100%. The outside world is they're not connecting with. So you really need to de-scramble, awaken, and reconnect circuits. And usually the mothers or fathers will say to me within 1 to 2 weeks, I think my child is having eye contact, and they're starting. One boy woke up in the morning and said, I love you, Mommy. We just had that. She was in Massachusetts, and it was great to do it long distance. Their child was in their own world. They fed him beautifully. They cared for him beautifully. This was a young couple, and we gave him his homeopathic treatment, and she said the very next day, kind of looked at her more clearly, and I think it was the next day. He said,
how old was the child?
He's 4 years old.
Okay.
The sooner you get to these kids, the better. When they bring me in when they're 25 and above, that's difficult. You got to get it when the brain is still forming to get these circuits to connect. Very similar to Parkinson's, where Parkinson's is a lack of a very important part of the brain from operating. Something is shutting down. That joy center is not working. In the autism,
it's a joy center. Dopamine, yeah.
That's the dopamine. That's the Parkinson's. But in children, the joy center is fine. These kids are joyful, but they're stuck in their own world. So you really want to open up the external-internal communication center and get neuroplasticity, which means connecting the circuits of the brain to talk to one another and to see that there's things that exist outside there in the world.
So you're talking circuits and connections. Electricity?
It's electrical circuit. Homeopathic is more like calling an electrician to fix what's wrong in your house than a plumber. If you need a plumber, you go have Roto-Rooter, clear your arteries or, open up your blood circulation. But in most cases, if it's an endocrine problem, like pituitary, thyroid, pancreas, which is also in the endocrine system, or ovaries or testes, you've got to connect them to the hub. If it's a neurological problem, it's the brain to the spinal cord, the brainstem to your eyes, your sensory organs. Something's not connecting. So this boy who was just throwing toys all the time is now seeing a toy is an interesting thing that he might be able to play with rather than he was just throwing the toys like they were baseballs or something.
Right. Wow. Okay. Now, lately we've heard a lot about the impact of the microorganisms in our gut.
Yeah.
And the assertion being made that the gut has a lot to do with the brain.
Yes, it does. It's called the vagus nerve. So the vagus nerve or the cranial nerve connects directly from your gut into your brain, which means your stomach operates mostly how you deeply feel. So motility is how fast you digest foods. For people with chronic diarrhea, boy, this stuff's whipping through me. I swear, doctor, the food's coming out so fast it's undigested. That's too fast motility, and usually the person is highly anxious. In the constipation patient, they're very vulnerable, very sensitive, and they're trying to keep their life highly under control, including children, and they take food in, and it just gets stuck somewhere in the small intestines or large intestines. It will not release. And remember, a lot of this stuff is governed through the involuntary nervous system. You don't have control on how fast your gut motility should be. As far as the critters inside that help digest our food or the enzymes that digest our food, those are important, but not nearly as important as that brain-body connection. So if I have a patient with irritable bowel syndrome in front of me, and it's IBS-C, means constipation, IBS-D, stands towards diarrhea, I know I'm going to get a story behind what is the deep brain thinking and feeling in a way that's influencing how the gut function is working very similar to a car wash. You know, you start with this little water, then you do your soap, then you do your brushes, but it's mixed up. It's almost you're doing the cart ahead of the horse. You're all over the place. Usually, and a scrambled person makes scrambled circuits, which makes scrambled digestion. And people are they're looking all over the world. What type of probiotic should I take? I said, well, you should eat a probiotic if that's your main problem. But how do you know that's your main problem? That's called a physician. You go to the doctor to find out what's wrong with me. But today's doctor, right starting from medical school, is trained in here's the five drugs you choose of to quiet your symptoms rather than let's figure out why you have your disease and see if we can get deeply inside to correct it so you don't need to be dependent on this medication the rest of your life.
Where did homeopathy come into the picture and why did it leave the picture so that you're one of the few practitioners that I know of?
Yeah.
What happened to homeopathy?
Well, it came in the picture by a doctor named Samuel Hahnemann in Meissen, Germany. He wrote a book in 1810. And they had a lot of time to think back then, Michael, because there were no distractions. It was not even a television or electric light to turn on. So they just thought and read books. And supposedly he knew, I believe it was 8 different languages or 11 different languages he spoke, and he would translate from any doctor throughout Europe into German. And he discovered that there was a commonality of thought that if you were stuck in a sickness, you did not fully recover. If you got sick again once or twice, he didn't know the immune system. He called the dynamis. The immune system or dynamis would then recover through an acute illness would cure a chronic state of illness. And he thought, if that's true, that a disease could cure a disease, how about we make an artificial disease? And they go out there to nature. He gets things and gives a little, let's give you a little bit of a stimulus and probably dilute some down to make them a little safer so it didn't hurt anyone, but give you just enough stimulus that you activate that inner mechanism and it starts to, it's almost you trick the person into healing themselves. And that's in fact, it worked. And his biggest mistake is he got too enthusiastic and he wrote The Organon of Medicine in 1810. That said, I have discovered the way to cure people.
Oh.
He used that dangerous word.
He used the word.
And he said the cure should be rapid, gentle, and permanent restoration to health by annihilating the disease in its root, but only happens if the physician can be very perceptive of what is the disease process and what kind of individual you are. So he wrote in those 3 paragraphs exactly what he discovered. Then it came to America in 1825, and Dr. Herring came from Germany, and James Tyler Kent, who was born in Woodhull, New York, he discovered that Hahnemann lived from 1755 to 1843. Kent was born in 1849, so he picks up the work from Constantine Herring and says, you know, I think there's something to this. And modern medicine of their day was not very good. You're talking leeches, bloodletting, mercury to people. You know, hope I don't kill you, but here's the best thing I know. Maybe operating, you know.
Some morphine.
Morphine, yeah, no. It was very popular. So the homeopathic was really fought with a lot of opposition, but there were doctors that said, well, we need something that works better than what we have. So they set about to try it, and lo and behold, it started to work. And that's how I got involved myself. I just tried it. Just tried it with a little 11-year-old girl with rheumatoid arthritis who had it for 2 years, and 30 days later, she's doing jumping jacks in my office like she never had a problem. That was my awakening, and I went, my God, this stuff actually works. Now, how do I get it to work 80%+ of the time? So Dr. Kent got also very excited, wrote voluminous books on how it works, and there was so much information, it became very arduous to find out how I could be a proficient homeopathic physician. So, and it's still the hardest medical system on the planet to get it to work right because you need a cooperative patient. You need a doctor who doesn't mind being a detective.
Okay, so that's your initial interview, which is where you sit down and you talk and you listen.
Right. And it's joyful because you have between an hour and an hour and a half, which doctors are not allowed to do that anymore.
Right. Are you kidding me?
It's unheard of.
Yeah.
But in that hour to an hour and a half.
It's always like touch and goes at the airport, you know, when you land and take off without stopping, you take off again. Doctor gives you 30 seconds.
And people are getting a little disenchanted, confused, and a little bit upset about why is my problem not getting repaired?
Because the medications are not designed to repair. They're designed to smother.
The replacement medicine. So if your thyroid's not working, you replace it with thyroid. That actually works pretty well. But if you have eczema and you use just steroids, that eczema is going to be there for the rest of your life. You're going to have to keep that Band-Aid on. Where if you can get in the inner mechanism and get it to stop producing inflammatory tendencies in the child or an adult, that eczema can go away. And one of the most glorious things we do to people, it's called the itch. And Hahnemann wrote about that way back in the 1800s. The original disease is the itch. If you can get rid of the itch, you will have a happy patient.
There you go. Is there anything that homeopathy does not work on?
Yeah, like let's take Parkinson's. If someone comes in with pretty advanced Parkinson's, their dopamines have been depleted for many years, you're not going to cure that patient. You're just going to help smooth their course, slow down the progression or multiple sclerosis or these diseases because they've been in the person for many years. And you might say certain genetic diseases are very strong in how they hold the person into a state of disease. You're going to still improve the quality of their life, but you may not cure them. But the majority of people are walking around kind of, you might say, in darkness. They just don't see that there is something that you could tap into and awaken and get
there
to
is
work
a
in.
Problem that you can fix.
Yeah. And we screen everybody in my office with a phone call. What's your problem? I have staff that screens them. And if they pass the test, yes, this
Ooh,
looks like
it's a test.
Problem. It's a test. You have to explain on the phone what your problem is, who you are, and how many drugs you take.
And what do you look for as a disqualifying answer?
If you're on up to 20-plus drugs that suppress them so severely.
Okay, what do you do with that?
You know, that's tricky. You got to strip it down very gradually. Now, we have an epidemic right now. Several of my people that I know are colleagues in fields where they say the epidemic is seniors graduating from high school, up to 50 to 70% of seniors are on some type of SSRI, antidepressant, anti-anxiety medication because they're anxious or depressed. That is a crisis. That's a crisis. We have a big problem. If these kids are saying the answer is in this pill and you're only 15 to 17 years old.
My wife was talking about freshmen coming into college and for the first time being able to run around without their drugs,
right?
And they're lost.
I would say 99%, maybe let's back up, maybe 98% of those kids would be free of their anxiety, depression, and negative self-talk if they had started with a homeopathic physician early on in their first time. I treat kids anywhere from one-year-old all the way on to people in their 90s because you're always looking for how can we unlock something in you that stops self-deprecation or negative self-talk, in some case, self-hatred. You can treat all that.
A one-year-old?
One-year-old is usually with violent temper, misbehaviors, hyper-shyness. You know, there's some kids that are so shy, they doubt themselves so much they don't even want to go to preschool or school. They have separation anxiety.
How do you talk with a one-year-old?
You do it all through powers of observation. So when I look at that child, we have a play center in my office. We watch, do they leave their mother's side or their father's side? Do they get out of the chair? Do they look nervous? You look in their eyes. You look at their face. You watch how they interact, and then you make your diagnosis. And physiognomy is actually the diagnosis of a person and who they are through their physical structure. You can see by the angulation of the jaw, how wide the eyes are or are slanted or... You look at every little piece as data collection, and you go...
As we all do every time we look at somebody new.
When you fall in love with someone and you like their features, exactly. You're looking deeply in their face and the eyes that are wind of the soul. Who are you? I taught my kids, no marriage for at least 2 years. You've got to get to know that person because you're probably going to make a mistake otherwise. Because the external appearance doesn't always show the deep inside. So you see the external... And you look deeply in the person, you understand who they are, you got to see them under stress a little bit. And now you say, I could deal with that for the next 50, 60 years. And maybe we can lower the divorce rate by helping these young kids firstly raise their own self-esteem and confidence and get to know their true self, and then bond with someone who lifts them up in life, not someone they have to prove themselves worthy to.
Wow. How does someone, are you open? Is there anything that you don't want to treat?
Well, we
is
never,
there any problem that you don't want to address?
I would say I don't do stitches, broken bones, and brain surgery anymore. I did brain surgery when I was 17 years old. The surgeon took me under his wing and said, how would you like to try helping me tie off a woman's aneurysm today? And I said, you betcha, because I was working an independent study in high school, my last 6 months of high school. And so he took me under his wing, and we fixed a woman from bleeding in her brain with an aneurysm. I thought that was pretty cool.
That is something I didn't get from you. I do not like blood, open surgery. Oh, no. I'll stick with the remedies.
You know? Okay.
You like the little white.
So the remedies are really what set you apart in the world of medicine.
Yeah.
You have remedies that target, that you shoot at problems.
Right.
And you hit those problems.
You got to be very perceptive, and you have to have a cooperative patient. You got to tell the truth of what's bothering you, not just what you're eating, but what's eating you. And it's something people sometimes are not comfortable talking about, especially if you're in the male species. If you're in the female species, you're wide open. As long as someone referred you, like, this doctor has got a good reputation, I've been doing this for 40 years now. Hey, if he could help me, I'll tell him anything he wants. But a person who comes in and they're spending a lot of time kind of deceiving you because they don't want you to see that little weak spot inside, that's what makes a difficult patient for me. Sometimes I can still perceive it in someone without their help, but it's much better if they help you.
And you can do this on television.
You could do it on television. You could do it by, I do it long
on,
distance.
You could do it on the phone.
You do it anywhere.
So we could do this on the radio. People could call in.
Well, I need to see the face in the eyes and the body type. That helps me a lot knowing,
okay,
why is your body ignoring to repair your disease?
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a most remarkable discussion with Santa Cruz's own Dr. Jeff Lester of Trilogy Medical Center here in Soquel.
Yeah, we're right in Soquel.
And if you have a problem that's intractable, try Dr. Lester. Thank you all for tuning in.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends miss the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.
To emphasize the importance of eating real food, the federal government threw out its food plate and turns its food pyramid upside down. So we pause to ask, what impact will the new real food pyramid have on our health?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1,409th edition of the Food Chain Radio program. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Yokohama. You are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. Folks, the federal government's new food guidelines are causing a kerfuffle among nutrition experts because they're so different than previous government recommendations. In the first place, the government threw out its food plate and replaced it with an upside-down pyramid. The grains that once held the top spot on the pyramid, which meant we were to make grains the pinnacle of our diet, are now at the bottom, which means we are to lay off Cheerios and Frosted Flakes. We are told to continue eating fruits and vegetables at the rate of 5 a day and limit saturated fats to less than 10% of energy, and to continue being mindful of portion sizes, no more supersizing, and to prioritize whole foods. But here's where the government goes upside down. It wants us to double our protein intake and go back, way back, to eating animal fats. To heck with Ansel Keys and the Seven Nations studies. Bring on the bacon, full-fat dairy, butter, beef tallow, and most all sources of animal fats. Perhaps most surprising of all, the federal government is now telling us to eat real food and start taking responsibility for our own health because it doesn't have enough money to pay for all our chronic diseases. This federal government about face forward march, upside down food pyramid, leads us to ask, what impact will the new real food pyramid have on our health? Well, here to help us find some answers, we have Dr. Jeff Lester, who is the director of Trilogy Medical Center for Integrative Health right here in Santa Cruz, California. Dr. Lester, thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you, Michael. Pleasure to be here.
And you brought your son.
I brought my son.
Hello, everyone.
Well, what's your name?
My name is Paul.
Paul. Good. Paul's here from which Texas university?
Oh, I go to the University of Dallas.
University of Dallas. Going to be graduating soon?
Yeah, this May.
Good. Excited. Going to come back and work with Papa.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty awesome. We get to be on the air here with all you guys.
Hello. All right. This is going to be a lot of fun. This is kind of an introductory flight for Dr. Lester here on Santa Cruz Voice. We hope to have him as a regular talk host here, talking about integrative medicine, Trilogy Medical Center for Integrative Medicine. So we have some terms to deal with, Doc, but before we do, we want to invite people to join us on the air today. Dr. Lester is welcoming of your medical and nutrition questions. And whatever your question might be or your comment, all you have to do today is pick up your phone and dial 831-265-5050, 831-265-5050, and we'll break into whatever we're talking about and take your call, because today you are the most important caller. So join us, 831-265-5050. Dr. Lester, you're 3-in-1.
Yes, I am.
That is thus the Trilogy Medical, right?
That's right. Study of three medical systems to help each patient.
Okay. A physician?
First a physician.
Okay.
Your medical diagnoses, assess the person properly.
Okay. A surgeon?
A surgeon, yes. Cut out of the person what doesn't belong.
Good. Homeopath?
Homeopath, yes. An age-old traditional medical system, which means communicate with the inner mechanism to get it to either stop hurting itself or stop ignoring the real problem.
So it's kind of like redirecting things, isn't it?
It's exactly like redirecting things. It's an investigative process where you shine the light on something the person may not be understanding about themselves or burying, and when you uncover it, the whole inner mechanism starts to go into recovery, healing themselves, and sometimes you might just have a cure.
And that's what we all hope for, is the cure.
That's the intention.
And, you know, in broadcasting anything that has anything to do with medications, if you use the word cure, you have to be very careful.
Yes, that's a dirty word nowadays.
Yeah.
Way back in the 1920s and 30s, there's a group of pretty big entrepreneurs that stepped in and got rid of that term, so you would instead use what I call replacement medicine. If you can't fix yourself or make what you should naturally be making, your God-given biological nature, then you replace it with a synthetic.
And that is the genesis, the birth of modern medicine.
That is modern medicine.
So integrative medicine means you take the physician, the surgeon, and the homeopath, and you sit down with your patient, and you say, how's it going?
Exactly. Tell me your story.
Tell me your story.
How did you get into this mess?
Mm-hmm. Now, I have to, full confession here, been consulting with myself, with Dr. Lester, and my family as well. And we've been doing so for quite some time. I have been sold on the notion of this integrative pathway to health by observing what Dr. Lester did for my wife, who, as a college student at Montana State in Bozeman, Montana, came down with pneumonia, a real severe case of pneumonia. And once you get pneumonia, you're likely to get it again.
Oh, yes, you are.
It comes and comes and comes. But my wife and I, you know, had to go to the hospital pretty much every year for years and years and years because every flu season she would catch pneumonia. And then we went to Dr. Lester, and he said, what's your story?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how you did it. She has not had pneumonia since.
Yes, we unlocked her inner mechanism of her neuroendocrino immune system, and now they're working together. Almost like you have multiple buttons inside the human mechanism, but some of them are stuck. They're not working anymore. They got damaged or something's holding them up. And when you unlock them, you got all your systems working for you, so you don't have to get sick anymore.
Knock wood. It's been working very effectively for years because we haven't had to go back to the emergency room for years. Whatever you did very well, and I hope it keeps working. As to that, when you sit down with a patient and ask them their story, what are you looking for?
You're looking for something inside that is, it's like a deficiency. So you're saying to yourself, are they eating terribly? Are they living terribly? Are they doing something wrong in their life? If the answer is no to the above, then you have to go to the next level of investigation. Okay, well, let's find out, what is it inside of you that is really allowing the disease to exist or is creating the disease? So as a doctor, your job is much more challenging and exciting than it is in most modern doctor visits where you're just looking to put a Band-Aid on the person's symptoms.
Well, having been there myself, you're like the detective, and I'm like the crook.
Exactly.
I'm trying to get away with something.
Yes, you have a burglar inside.
I do, and I'm trying to figure out, I'm okay. I jokingly, before the show, was talking about how we went through this process of Dr. Lester says, well, write down all the things that are wrong with you. And I said, well, nothing's wrong with me. I'm just right. And then so my wife and daughter wrote down a list of like 73 things that were wrong with me. And so we went through them. And you found a, they don't call them, what do they call the homeopathic, they call them remedies.
Yes, remedies, which means to fix or to get better.
Yes. And so I've been taking these three microscopic pills every day.
Yes.
Religiously. And I don't know if I'm fixed or not, but I feel pretty good.
I'm
still just right. but, you know, the impact that it's had on my wife is absolutely stunning. And I've talked with another, a bunch of your patients who have found the similar thing. So you are the interrogator.
Yeah.
You are the one who's looking for something that we as patients, we know there's something wrong,
right,
but we don't know, have the slightest idea where it's at.
Yes, I tell people, bring me all your pieces, put them on the table, and then you're going to trust that I know how to synthesize them and put them together into a cohesive story. And then we go after that, whatever's in the way of your getting healthy, and we fix it. We remedy it.
Okay. Whew. So people have lots of problems these days.
Lots of problems.
And I see where 6 out of 10 of us now have some kind of chronic disease, one, maybe two or three, that plague our lives. And it's these chronic diseases that cause us Americans to spend more on health care than any other country in the world. This being the food chain, I'm going to have to ask, are some of these related to what we eat?
Well, we have been, for years, been given, probably since it really took off in the 40s and 50s, a new paradigm that it's okay to eat tainted food or food that's not quite right and maybe got some processing in it. Then the biggest mistake that ever got made was that formula was better than breastfeeding. And the act of breastfeeding and the actual milk that comes from the woman's breast to feed that child. So it started with replacing something that was a better version than nature made in its original form that's been here for thousands of years. So cleaning our food and getting more natural foods the way God gave. My grandfather was a cattle rancher, and there was no such thing as processed anything back in those days. My grandmother made everything from scratch. So people grew up very hardy, but also within that generation, they had five children, they still had disease. So I knew that the food and getting clean, healthy food is so very important for a good portion, maybe a third of the health of the person. So you might say what you're eating is important, but the other third is what's eating you.
Well, what's eating you? And that goes back to the saying, if we are what we eat.
Partly.
If we are what we eat, we are what we eat ate also.
Yes. The other piece is we are what we deeply feel. So that means everybody inside of them has a very convincing to themselves something that they feel that they have to be a certain way in order to be accepted by themselves or others or be in the world. And we look for that. So after they're done talking about what's your disease process, do you have eczema, asthma, migraines, irritable bowel syndrome, what do you have, what's your body doing wrong, or a host of things. And then we talk after you're done what your lifestyle is like, you know, your stress levels, what are you doing in your life that maybe is not good for you or eating that's not good for you. And then we get to the deeper stuff. How do you feel about life in your inner self? And surprisingly, once you get the person warmed up and talking for a little bit, they just start rolling into the deepest things you'd ever imagine. And by the time you're done with anywhere from 60 to 90 minutes, they have revealed something about themselves they've been carrying their whole life. That if you could get rid of that, they now have a high-performing system.
So that being a psychological trauma of some kind?
It is partly psychological. It's partly genetic. We call it a miasm, which means an invisible energetic process inside of you that is governing the way you react, feel, and the way you choose things. Like some people choose wrong things from themselves, and they keep doing it, and they don't know why. But if you look back at the ancestry, sometimes you find there were some other people in that ancestry that were doing the exact same thing wrong.
And it perpetuates itself, though.
It's very perpetuating. It's, you might say, the disease is one of ignorance. You're ignoring what's something you're not seeing, and then modern medicine came along and said, we could help you ignore that even more by covering up
your symptoms.
Symptoms, exactly. Right. We want to do the opposite. We're going to make your system start to uncover something deeply inside to make you more aggressive at fixing your own problem, maybe if it's even a deep immune problem like cancer.
Wow. Now, how does homeopathy address disease?
It gets your immune system involved in the fight, or gets your immune system involved in the cleanup. I call these homeopathic medicines focusing agents. They allow you to focus on something you're not seeing. So if you're eating a whole bunch of broccoli, asparagus, Brussels sprouts, carrots, you're eating really well, but your cancer is still growing, we know something is wrong. The inner mechanism is not absorbing, assimilating, and then going after your own cancer. You've got chemotherapy locked up in your body. People are made to think they don't. They have to always use an outside agent to fix an inside problem.
Have you had luck treating cancer patients?
I have. You know, it depends on the age, the aggressiveness of the cancer, and the vitality of the person, and the openness of the person. So if you imagine a remedy as a directing agent, where you're directing the system how to work on itself, you might just say, maybe my system can do more than I thought.
It's kind of like susceptibility to hypnotism.
Yeah.
If you're willing, you can be hypnotized.
Right.
If you're not willing, you can't.
I do have patients come in and they want to be helped, but they don't allow me to help them the way I know. I always say, can you imagine the metaphor of a surgeon that wants to go and cut out your diseased gallbladder, but you keep waking up from the anesthesia and telling them where to cut?
Don't do that.
I'll tell the anesthesiologist, give them just a little bit more because I need to do my work.
Before the show, we were talking about various diseases that we're prone to these days. One of them seems to be Parkinson's disease. Are we seeing more of it, or is it?
It is growing tremendously, yes. And there's an answer for that. So what I do is I take the disease, the soup du jour, you might say, the disease of the day, and I think about it. Why is that growing? Sometimes there's an easy answer, like cervical cancer from HPV. Oh, well, we better control our sexual desires and be careful who we interlude with. because HPV is a nasty virus that is very difficult to get rid of. But Parkinson's, what is that? So you say the substantia nigra is a part of the brain that governs the producing of dopamine. Dopamine, very important chemical. What does it do? It gives us deep sense of joy. So there must be something wrong in that inner mechanism where the person is leading their life looking for joy in the wrong ways. They're not feeling an inner joy for it. Like cocaine makes our brain lights up with joy for about 2 or 3 hours, and then we go into severe depression afterwards because it's false joy. But so is sugar. When you consume a lot of sugar, makes the dopamine go up. So is sexuality without love. That makes the dopamine go up, but again, it's false. It doesn't last. True joy comes from something inside you that is greatly rewarding and satisfying, like doing maybe a great radio show.
There you go.
Helping a patient get better or helping a child in distress. We did 4 children with autism in the past 2 months that couldn't speak, couldn't focus, couldn't cooperate, and all 4 of those children within 2 to 6 weeks are now speaking, focusing, and they're not unruly with their parents anymore. I just got up the online. I do online visits now. I did these people in Florida last night where they have 2 children with autism. And the homeopathic treatment allowed these children to have eye contact, speaking. The 5-year-old is now reading. The 4-year-old is now cooperating with his sister better. They're playing together. The 4-year-old used to just throw the toy around the room without playing with it.
So wait a minute. These kids, these are kids.
These are little 4 and 5.
So it would seem like it would be really hard to fool them into thinking the placebo effect,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Because they're 4 years old. They don't know what these homeopathic remedies are.
Well, people try to say, well, if the mother or father gives them these remedies with the intention it's going to work, maybe that's working, but I think that's baloney. Because in autism, you can't convince an autistic child to start speaking through hope. You have to give them a medication that unlocks the circuit.
So there would really be something in the remedy that you're providing that is actually facilitating a change.
Yes. Well, let's go back to the Parkinson's. If in the brain, it's the perception of something that brings you deep joy is locked up. So no matter what you do, you don't really feel that joy anymore. If you could unlock that, then you get deep joy from little things, then maybe Parkinson's would reduce. And in fact, most people seek me out when they already have Parkinson's, have had it for 10 or 20 years. So we can get to these people earlier. And let's say you're living a life that is without pure positivity, joy, and happiness, and you don't have Parkinson's, better to get treatment now before you ever get it. I always say the best way to treat dementia is 20 years before you get it.
Not bad way of doing it. You know, I keep thinking of a quote from Nikos Kazantzakis, who wrote Zorba the Greek and The Last Temptation of Christ. And one of the things he said was that there's nothing more frightening than a man without a God. And that's kind of like there's no joy then.
Yes, joy and one other thing called hope. Dentist society, joy and hope not only are lacking, but they've been skewed into false hope and false joy. So if we go into the person knowing, I have to find out in this patient why their disease is existing. You're looking for where they're putting their false investment in hope.
Boy, you're going for something that's really precious then, aren't you?
Yes, it's very precious.
And they're probably not willing to give it up right away.
They are not. It takes sometimes some people between 3 and 6 visits before they finally are willing to admit where the weakness lies.
Once you find the weakness, then you have at least something to shoot at with your remedies.
Right. Yeah, that's the first. Just discovering what
it is.
Is
that a good way of putting it, shooting at those things?
That's a good way of putting at it, actually. You are shooting at it to bring awareness. I call them magnetic flashlights. They don't go in and just do it for you, but they shine the light on it. They bring awareness to it, and now you can fix your own problem. That's why it's often, when it does cure, a permanent cure. My wife used to have 3 to 6 migraines per month, and now we have none. She's a delightful person. She had no idea why she was suffering these migraines. So we found out, investigated. It took her a little while to get it out from inside, and now she has life without migraines. And 3 of my children started to develop migraines, so we nipped it very quickly in them, and I have to brag about my children. They're extremely joyful. They find joy in the right places. They find joy in little things. Parkinson's can be cured by never leading a life full of looking for joy in the wrong places.
Looking for love in all the wrong places.
You got
it. There it is. And so when you bring homeopathy into an integrative medicine approach, and people come to the doctor expecting to get a drug to fix things, they're in for a surprise.
They're in for a little surprise. Usually most of our patients come word of mouth, so they say, this doctor's a little different. He's not going to look at your outside. He's going to look at your outside, but he's going to look at your inside. I call Western medicine the great stabilizer. Mm-hmm. Do you need to be stabilized? Is your asthma out of control? Well, let's get you stabilized with some inhalers. Unfortunately, there's steroid in many of them now because it keeps people out of the emergency room. In Western medicine, I would not want to be a homeopathic physician without also being an allopathic physician, which means stabilizing the outside, keep them alive. I always joke, I help the patients much better when I keep them alive. We have more time to figure this out. And you stabilize them, and then you go after inside what's allowing the eczema, the asthma, the allergies to grow.
What is doing this, creating all of these long-term diseases that we do have, like Parkinson's,
right? Yeah.
And asthma, and on and on and on.
Yeah, it's a faulty mechanism inside of the person. You can fix that?
So it's somewhere in your natural healing system.
Yeah.
Somebody said the human body is the perfect healer of itself.
Yes, until it gets messed up.
Until it gets messed up.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I loved the term. I knew I wanted to be a doctor since I was 10 years old. And I would study anything due to health or anything like that. And I love the term psychoneuroimmunology. I thought that's a fascinating term. You got psycho, your mind, neuro, your nervous system, immunology. Now I've expanded it to psychoneuroimmunoendocrinocardiology. Okay, mm-hmm. Because you can do cardiology with homeopathic care, not in place of stabilization. But you can fix, why is my body producing so much cholesterol? I eat lots of good, healthy food, and I still have high cholesterol. There's a reason for that. You got to find it out. Usually it has to do with inner vulnerability. The more vulnerable you feel, the more cholesterol you make.
Why is that?
There's no drug for that. Yeah, these new drugs that are out to lower your cholesterol are blocking a pathway in the liver. Doesn't really change the inner mechanism that's producing the too much cholesterol in the first place. And then the other thing is, why is the cholesterol sticking in my arteries? Well, that's another piece, which is called inflammation. And the root of most people's inflammation is deep feelings of frustration and betrayal.
So you're part psychologist then as well.
50%.
50%.
50%, you're looking at a
person. So you need to put that on your... Instead of trilogy, then.
Quadrilogy.
Quadrilogy, that sounds like it. But it really is a search for the root cause of these issues.
Yeah, you really see a person as a plague.
And conventional medicine does not search for the cause. It's just for a way of smoothing things out for a little while here.
You're looking for the quickest fix to quiet the symptom.
Take this and call me in the morning.
And sometimes you need that. If someone's in terrific pain, or let's go back to asthma, they can't breathe. One of my children had terrible asthma. Of course, we used inhalers and nebulizers and things to keep him breathing. But all the while I was studying him, now he was only 3 years old, so I had to look at him and just figure out what is inside of him that is creating this asthma in the first place. And then go after that and remedy that with something that eventually got rid of it completely, and he's never puffed on an inhaler again for 25 years.
And you just got it. That's right, from Paul.
Paul knows him very well.
Yeah.
And I always remind this boy and all my kids, you're very lucky. We have 6 children. you guys are very lucky that Dad spent a lot of time researching things outside the box, because I love Western medicine. It is fantastic for what it's able to do.
Break a leg?
It's fantastic.
We're very spoiled here. Any illness, sickness, even just scraping my knee outside.
So it becomes an adventure, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, oh boy, we have something to work with?
Yeah, but I let them know, we could fix anything, guys. Anything you do out there in the world is your playground. We could fix it if it breaks.
Yeah, when I left for college, because that was like the first time I was away from home, I remember you told me anything that you're going through that's causing a lot of emotion, or any like event in your life that has you thinking a lot, like remember that. Remember that feeling. Remember that like pain or joy, and bring it back, so then we can get you on a constitutional remedy, because you were telling me how important those things are and how important it is to understand.
Boy, what an incredible insight. Yes, my wife was working at the University of California, and she would talk all the time about the kids who the freshman kids who came to the university and for the first time in their lives did not have their parents there to force them to take their meds.
Yeah.
Right? And so they had all of these kids without their meds.
Yeah.
Trying to cope with reality. Phew.
Yeah, the greatest feeling in the world as a parent is making your kid autonomous.
Yes.
And confident.
Whole job. That's from day one.
Confident and autonomous. You can do it. We know the term helicopter parent.
Sure.
Oh, you're hurt. Here, let me help you. Let me help you. And I think, actually, you're handicapping your child.
So are any of these conditions created by external forces, like food?
Well, it's 50-50. External forces influence how you deeply feel, but there's something that if you already deeply feel, the external forces cannot change that other piece in you. So if someone, we now know, we have a DNA project. We can, from your saliva and cheek, we can measure your DNA and see what diseases you might get and what age they might occur. That's a scary test for many people, except if you have a system that could push it out for 20 years.
If you can fight it.
Yes. Well, that's what we do. We make in homeopathic treatment, which is, you know, a third of my practice. I'm an allopath. I do Western medicine well. I diagnose people, treat them how they need to be treated. But then we also have a lifestyle and health nutrition part of our clinic. And then the third part of the Trilogy Clinic is we have homeopathic, which means we're going to awaken something inside of you that's going to stop allowing something to exist that's called a disease, or stop hurting yourself.
So you can actually treat autism.
You can treat autism with a...
What is autism?
There's three types of autism: mild, moderate, and severe.
Spectrum.
There's a spectrum. So in the mild to moderate group, I have had complete cures of it, including my own daughter, where she went from a place they said she'd never read, write, speak, or be able to do anything very well, and she does all the above. Nobody knows at this point that she has autism. She has a job. She has her customers she takes care of, and no one knows that she has. They know she's extra sweet, kind, and caring. And they know she's very loving, but they don't realize that she ever had a problem.
So you can shift from one end of the spectrum down to another end of the spectrum.
They brought her back to her high school to be a demonstrator to the other kids with autism of what could be in their future possibility.
And you would treat autism the same way you treat other diseases.
Yes. You're looking for what is inside of them that's scrambled, not connecting right. Not the body's on a feedback loops. You go to the outside world and the inside world, back and forth. In autism, there's something broken there. The inside world is 100%. The outside world is they're not connecting with. So you really need to descramble, awaken, and reconnect circuits. And usually the mothers or fathers will say to me within 1 to 2 weeks, I think my child is having eye contact, and they're starting. One boy woke up in the morning and said, I love you, Mommy. We just had that. She was in Massachusetts, and it was great to do it long distance. Their child was in their own world. They fed him beautifully. They cared for him beautifully. This was a young couple, and we gave him his homeopathic treatment, and she said the very next day, kind of looked at her more clearly, and I think it was the next day he said,
how old was the child?
He's 4 years old.
Okay.
The sooner you get to these kids, the better. When they bring me in when they're 25 and above, that's difficult. You got to get it when the brain is still forming to get these circuits to connect. Very similar to Parkinson's, where Parkinson's is a lack of a very important part of the brain from operating. Something is shutting down. That joy center is not working. In the autism,
it's a joy center. The autism, dopamine, yeah.
That's the dopamine. That's the Parkinson's. But in children, the joy center is fine. These kids are joyful, but they're stuck in their own world. So you really want to open up the external internal communication center and get neuroplasticity, which means connecting the circuits of the brain to talk to one another and to see that there's things that exist outside there in the world.
So you're talking circuits and connections. It's neural circuits. Is this electricity?
It's an electrical circuit. Homeopathic is more like calling an electrician to fix what's wrong in your house than a plumber. If you need a plumber, you go have Roto-Rooter, clear your arteries or, you know, open up your blood circulation. But in most cases, if it's an endocrine problem, like pituitary, thyroid, pancreas, which is also in the endocrine system, or ovaries or testes, you've got to connect them to the hub. If it's a neurological problem, it's the brain to the spinal cord, the brain stem to your eyes, your sensory organs. Something's not connecting. So this boy who was just throwing toys all the time is now seeing a toy is an interesting thing that he might be able to play with rather than he was just throwing the toys like they were baseballs or something.
Right. Wow. Okay. Now, lately we've heard a lot about the impact of the microorganisms in our gut.
Yeah.
And the assertion being made that the gut has a lot to do with the brain.
Yes, it does. It's called the vagus nerve. So the vagus nerve, or the cranial nerve, connects directly from your gut into your brain, which means your stomach operates mostly how you deeply feel. So motility is how fast you digest foods. For people with chronic diarrhea, boy, this stuff's whipping through me. I swear, doctor, the food's coming out so fast it's undigested. That's too fast motility, and usually the person is highly anxious. In the constipation patient, they're very vulnerable, very sensitive, and they're trying to keep their life highly under control, including children. And they take food in, and it just gets stuck somewhere in the small intestines or large intestines. It will not release. And remember, a lot of this stuff is governed through the involuntary nervous system. You don't have control on how fast your gut motility should be. As far as the critters inside that help digest our food or the enzymes that digest our food, those are important, but not nearly as important as that brain-body connection. So if I have a patient with irritable bowel syndrome in front of me, and it's IBS-C, means constipation, IBS-D, stands towards diarrhea, I know I'm going to get a story behind what is the deep brain thinking and feeling in a way that's influencing how the gut function is working, very similar to a car wash. You know, you start with this little water, then you do your soap, then you do your brushes, but it's mixed up. It's almost you're doing the cart ahead of the horse. You're all over the place. Usually, and a scrambled person makes scrambled circuits, which makes scrambled digestion. And people are they're looking all over the world. What type of probiotic should I take? I said, well, you should eat a probiotic if that's your main problem. But how do you know that's your main problem? That's called a physician. You go to the doctor to find out what's wrong with me. But today's doctor, right starting from medical school, is trained in here's the five drugs you choose them to quiet your symptoms rather than let's figure out why you have your disease and see if we can get deeply inside to correct it so you don't need to be dependent on this medication the rest of your life.
Where did homeopathy come into the picture and why did it leave the picture? So that you're one of the few practitioners that I know of.
Yeah.
What happened to homeopathy?
Well, it came in the picture by a doctor named Samuel Hahnemann in Meissen, Germany. He wrote a book in 1810. And they had a lot of time to think back then, Michael, because there were no distractions. It was not even a television or electric light to turn on. So they just thought and read books. And supposedly he knew, I believe it was 8 different languages or 11 different languages he spoke, and he would translate from any doctor throughout Europe into German. And he discovered that there was a commonality of thought that if you were stuck in a sickness, you did not fully recover. If you got sick again once or twice, he didn't know the immune system, he called the dynamis, the immune system or dynamis, would then recover through an acute illness would cure a chronic state of illness. And he thought, if that's true, that a disease could cure a disease, how about we make an artificial disease? And they go out there to nature. He gets things and gives a little, let's give you a little bit of a stimulus and probably dilute some down to make them a little safer so it didn't hurt anyone, but give you just enough stimulus that you activate that inner mechanism and it starts to, it's almost you trick the person into healing themselves. And that's in fact, it worked. And his biggest mistake is he got too enthusiastic and he wrote the Organon of Medicine in 1810 that said, I have discovered the way to cure people.
Uh-oh.
And he used that dangerous word.
He used the word.
And he said the cure should be rapid, gentle, and permanent restoration to health by getting the annihilating the disease in its root, but only happens if the physician can be very perceptive of what is the disease process and what kind of individual you are. So he wrote in those three paragraphs exactly what he discovered. Then it came to America in 1825, and a Dr. Herring came from Germany, and James Tyler Kent, who was born in Woodhull, New York, he discovered now Hahnemann lived from 1755 to 1843. Kent was born in 1849, so he picks up the work from Constantine Herring and says, you know, I think there's something to this, and modern medicine of their day was not very good. You're talking leeches, bloodletting, mercury to people. You know, hope I don't kill you, but here's the best thing I know. Maybe operating, you know, with...
Have some morphine.
Morphine, yeah, it was very popular. So the homeopathic was really fought with a lot of opposition, but there were doctors that said, well, we need something that works better than what we have. So they set about to try it, and lo and behold, it started to work. And that's how I got involved myself. I just tried it. Just tried it with a little 11-year-old girl with rheumatoid arthritis who had it for 2 years, and 30 days later, she's doing jumping jacks in my office like she never had a problem. That was my awakening, and I went, my God, this stuff actually works. Now, how do I get it to work 80%+ of the time? So Dr. Kent got also very excited, wrote voluminous books on how it works, and there was so much information, it became very arduous to find out how I could be a proficient homeopathic physician. So, and it's still the hardest medical system on the planet to get it to work right because you need a cooperative patient. You need a doctor who doesn't mind being a detective.
Okay, so that's your initial interview, which is where you sit down and you talk and you listen.
Right. And it's joyful because you have between an hour and an hour and a half, which doctors are not allowed to do that anymore.
Right. Are you kidding me?
It's unheard of.
Yeah.
But in that hour to an hour and a half.
It's always like touch and goes at the airport, you know, when you land and take off without stopping, you take off again. Doctor gives you 30 seconds.
And people are getting a little disenchanted, confused, and a little bit upset about why is my problem not getting repaired.
I said, because the medications are not designed to repair. They're designed to smother.
The replacement medicine. So if your thyroid's not working, you replace it with thyroid. That actually works pretty well. But if you have eczema and you use just steroids, that eczema is going to be there for the rest of your life. You're going to have to keep that Band-Aid on. Where if you can get in the inner mechanism and get it to stop producing inflammatory tendencies in the child or an adult, that eczema can go away. And one of the most glorious things we do to people, it's called the itch. And Hahnemann wrote about that way back in the 1800s. The original disease is the itch. If you can get rid of the itch, you will have a happy patient.
There you go. Is there anything that homeopathy does not work on?
Yeah. Like, let's take Parkinson's. If someone comes in with pretty advanced Parkinson's, their dopamines have been depleted for many years, you're not going to cure that patient. You're just going to help smooth their course, slow down the progression, or multiple sclerosis, or these diseases, because they've been in the person for many years. And you might say certain genetic diseases are very strong in how they hold the person into a state of disease. You're going to still improve the quality of their life, but you may not cure them. But the majority of people are walking around, kind of, you might say, in darkness. They just don't see that there is something that you could tap into and awaken and get
there
it to
is
work
a
again.
Problem that you can fix.
Yeah. And we screen everybody in my office with a phone call. What's your problem? I have staff that screens them. And if they pass the test, yes, this
is like a test.
It's a test. You have to explain on the phone what your problem is, who you are, and how many drugs you take.
And what do you look for as a disqualifying answer?
If you're on up to 20-plus drugs that suppress them so severely.
Okay, and what do you do with that?
Yeah, that's tricky. You got to strip it down very gradually. Now, we have an epidemic right now. Several of my people that I know are colleagues in fields where they say the epidemic is seniors graduating from high school. Up to 50 to 70% of seniors are on some type of SSRI, antidepressant, anti-anxiety medication because they're anxious or depressed. That is a crisis. That's a crisis. We have a big problem. If these kids are saying the answer is in this pill and you're only 15 to 17 years old.
My wife was talking about freshmen coming into college and for the first time being able to run around without their drugs.
Right.
And they're lost.
I would say 99%, maybe let's back up, maybe 98% of those kids would be free of their anxiety, depression, and negative self-talk if they had started with a homeopathic physician early on in their first time. I treat kids anywhere from 1 year old all the way on to people in their 90s because you're always looking for how can we unlock something in you that stops self-deprecation or negative self-talk, in some case, self-hatred. You can treat all that.
A 1 year old?
1 year old is usually with violent temper, misbehaviors, hyper shyness. You know, there's some kids that are so shy they doubt themselves so much they don't even want to go to preschool or school. They have separation anxiety.
How do you talk with a 1 year old?
You do it all through powers of observation. Mm-hmm. So when I look at that child, we have a play center in my office. We watch, do they leave their mother's side or their father's side? Do they get out of the chair? Do they look nervous? You look in their eyes, you look at their face, you watch how they interact, and then you make your diagnosis. And physiognomy is actually the diagnosis of a person and who they are through their physical structure. You can see by the angulation of the jaw, how wide the eyes are or are slanted, or you look at every little piece as data collection and you go.
As we all do every time we look at somebody new.
When you fall in love with someone and you like their features, exactly. You're looking deeply in their face and the eyes that are wind of the soul. Who are you? I taught my kids, no marriage for at least 2 years. You've got to get to know that person because you're probably going to make a mistake otherwise. Because the external appearance doesn't always show the deep inside. So you see the external and you look deeply in the person. You understand who they are. You got to see them under stress a little bit. And now you say, I could deal with that for the next 50, 60 years. And maybe we can lower the divorce rate by helping these young kids, firstly, raise their own self-esteem and confidence and get to know their true self and then bond with someone who lifts them up in life, not someone they have to prove themselves worthy to.
Wow. How does someone, are you open? Is there anything that you don't want to treat?
Well,
is there any problem that you don't want to address?
I would say I don't do stitches, broken bones, and brain surgery anymore. I did brain surgery when I was 17 years old. The surgeon took me under his wing and said, how would you like to try helping me tie off a woman's aneurysm today? And I said, you betcha, because I was working an independent study in high school my last 6 months of high school. And so he took me under his wing, and we fixed a woman from bleeding in her brain with an aneurysm. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is something I didn't get from you. I do not like blood, open surgery. Oh, no. I'll stick with the remedies.
You know? Okay.
You like a little white.
So the remedies are really what set you apart in the world of medicine.
Yeah.
You have remedies that target, that you shoot at problems.
Right.
And you hit those problems.
You got to be very perceptive, and you have to have a cooperative patient. You got to tell the truth of what's bothering you, not just what you're eating, but what's eating you. And it's something people sometimes are not comfortable talking about, especially if you're in the male species. If you're in the female species, you're wide open. As long as someone referred you, like this doctor has got a good reputation, I've been doing this for 40 years now. Hey, if he could help me, I'll tell him anything he wants. But a person who comes in, and they're spending a lot of time kind of deceiving you because they don't want you to see that little weak spot inside, that's what makes a difficult patient for me. Sometimes I can still perceive it in someone without their help, but it's much better if they help you.
And you can do this on television.
You could do it on television. You could do it by, I do it long
on,
distance.
On, you could do online. You could do it on, yeah, on the phone.
The country. You do it anywhere.
So we could do this on the radio. People could call in.
Well, I need to see the face in the eyes and the body type. That helps me a lot knowing,
okay,
why is your body ignoring to repair your disease?
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a most remarkable discussion with Santa Cruz's own Dr. Jeff Lester of Trilogy Medical Center here in Soquel.
Yeah, we're right in Soquel.
And if you have a problem that's intractable, try Dr. Lester. Thank you all for tuning in.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.